Well, as we listen to the gospel today of the Samaritan woman, and we're continuing on with the scrutinies, and as the elect that are here today are preparing themselves for the full initiation into the Catholic Church, it's the reason why we read this gospel today is because, in the first scrutiny, it's because it talks about water. But not only, and we'll talk a little more about this here, but not only does it talk about water, but it also talks about the covenant between God and us. Bechit, that's what they would say in Hebrew. And so in that word they would use, it's that covenant relationship with God and ourselves. But also today's gospel reading reminds me of a very similar event. It's a story that took place of a man who had recently found and embraced the Catholic faith. Now, he was a brilliant man, and he considered himself a genius in the high-tech engineering field. And this man was constantly out there looking for the truth. And he was looking for this truth, and he was looking for the religion that would fulfill him in his life. And he was searching in various religions, flying from many different countries, trying to find that one religion that would fulfill his interior desires and would really help explain what he's going through in his life. He went and checked out Buddhism, Hinduism, Hare Krishna, New Age, etc. And he went and tried all these different religions throughout the world. And none of them fulfilled what he was looking for. None of them would alleviate this thirst that he had, this thirst for holiness, until that one day, he was watching the funeral of Pope John Paul II. He was just flipped on the channels, and he was watching the TV, and he was watching this funeral. And he was impressed to see all the bishops and the cardinals and the ceremony that went on. And he was impressed by the life of Pope John Paul II. And he said at that moment, he goes, "This is the faith I've been looking for all my life. This is what I've been searching for." And so he started reading up about the Catholic Church. He started reading about it and trying to find out what it's all about. He bought the Catechism of the Catholic Church. He started watching EWTN. He started watching and listening to Catholic radio. And he just started to educate himself on the Catholic faith. And then finally, I was asked to come and talk to him. And so I went over to talk to him. And I went through, he really wanted to become Catholic. And I went through all the difficult points of the Catholic faith with him, the hot topic points as well. And we went through that, and he says, "I totally believe what the Catholic Church teaches," because he's a very rational man. And our faith is a very rational faith, but at the same time, it requires a lot of faith, because with faith and reason, we could soar to unlimited heights. And so this man really loved this, the church, and he wanted to become Catholic. And so we saw the Holy Spirit working within him. But the Holy Spirit worked as Jesus worked today in the gospel. He worked with the Samaritan woman, and he took her where she was at. He wasn't expecting her to be at this level in her faith. He just took the Samaritan woman where she was at. And that's what the Gospel of John is doing, and that's what we should look at. And the Gospel of John, as I said in the beginning, has a large emphasis on this marriage covenant between God and his people. Because we've read, if you've read the Old Testament in the Pentateuch, or the Torah, as the Jews would call it, the first five books, about the how many of the wives were found at a well. The wives of Isaac, Jacob, and Moses were first encountered at a well. And so Jesus is that divine bridegroom in search of believers to be his covenant bride. And each one of us can put ourselves in that place of the Samaritan woman. We can put ourselves in that place of the woman in that encounter that Jesus had with her at the well. And so we can put ourselves and put our names there, and because Jesus wants to have that encounter with us, and he wants to take us where we're at today at this moment. And he wants to elevate us even higher in our knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. So let's take a look at the scene that takes place today. First, Jesus comes to the well, and Jesus is tired, he's hungry, he's thirsty, and his disciples go to a nearby town to buy food. And a Samaritan woman went to the well and was really surprised by Jesus, that, you know, she was surprised to see a Jew there that actually engaged her in conversation. Because Jews and Samaritans never engaged one another. The reason why was there's this animosity between the two was because of history, what happened to the Jews and the Samaritans. The Samaritan, during that time, they had the Assyrian deportation of all the Jews. And the Israelites that remained in the north had defiled themselves by assimilating the practices of these pagan peoples and intermarrying with them. So both Jews and Samaritans took steps to avoid interactions with one another, especially in food and drink. So Jesus has this encounter with this woman, and he takes her, as I said, at that superficial level that she was at, and even that erroneous level of the knowledge of the faith. And she brought her, and he brought her to a supernatural understanding of the one true faith. So he begins by telling her about that living water, and an expression with two levels of meaning. The woman actually took the word, the living water, flowing water, as in a more superficial way of real water. And she thought, this is preferable to that stagnant water of the well. And Jesus, however, wasn't speaking of that type of water. He was speaking of that life-giving water, that vitality of the Holy Spirit. And our Christian tradition always associates living water that Jesus talks about as the baptism water, the water of baptism. As St. Paul says, that water of baptism leads to eternal life. And he calls that term of baptism as drinking from the Spirit. So as we see that, Jesus has this encounter with the woman. And then in order to bring her up even further, he says, why don't you bring your husband? If you want this living water, bring your husband. And she says, I do not have a husband. And Jesus says, you are correct in saying that, for in fact, you have had five husbands. And so what does that relate to? Well, the woman's personal life parallels that historic experience of the Samaritan people. And according to Kings, the book of Kings, the five foreign tribes of the Samaritans who intermingled with the northern Israelites that we call the Samaritans introduced five male deities into their religions. And these idols were individually addressed as Baal, which is B-A-A-L, Baal. It's a Hebrew word meaning Lord or husband. So the prophets always denounced the Israelites that were in the north from serving these gods, calling such worship infidelity of the true covenant with God. So Jesus was the one who was keeping that hope alive. The new Messiah was keeping that new hope alive. And even the Samaritans were hoping in this new Messiah to come and bring them that everlasting life, to bring them the truth. And so Jesus comes, and he's coming to the Samaritans at a time when they're struggling with the five pagan husbands. And so by her, the Samaritan woman, being open to the truth, she's allowing the Holy Spirit to work through her as Jesus brings her to the true understanding of who he is and the long-expected Messiah as he tells the woman, I am he. So her thirst at that moment was being satiated, and she was so excited about the treasure of this living water that she found that she couldn't keep this treasure to herself. And she went off to the town to tell everybody about this living water, about Jesus Christ being the Messiah. So let us take a moment and reflect in our own lives. How can we apply this into our own lives, this gospel passage? How can we really look into our own lives and see that Jesus Christ is the Messiah? Are we excited about receiving Jesus every Sunday in the Eucharist? Are we excited about sharing this great gift with other people as the woman did? Or are we allowing our faith, our Christian faith, to be saturated by what we would call those five pagan gods or any pagan gods that infiltrate or intermingle with our own faith? How many times do we allow things of the world to intermingle and come into our faith, other ideas that are contrary to the Catholic faith, the Catholic teachings? How many of these pagan gods do we allow into our lives and these idols do we allow into our faith? where we end up putting God in second place, third place, and last place. We should really do an examination of our conscience to look into our lives and say, what are some of the things that are keeping me from truly loving God? What are some of these obstacles in my life? And that's the question that we need to ask ourselves today, tomorrow, and for the rest of our lives. Because we, as the Israelites, we are living among many, we want to call them pagans, people who don't really believe in the faith, people who don't have a hard time believing in God, people who have a hard time believing what we believe, even though our Catholic faith is not an easy faith to always live. So let's take a moment and look into our lives and reflect on that. What are some of the things out there, idolatries, if you want to call it, but things that we're doing, sins that we're committing, that are keeping us from truly thriving in our faith, truly coming and drinking from this wellspring of water, so that way each and every one of us can be that wellspring for others in the world today, in a world that's truly thirsting, in a world that's in a true drought of faith. Let us be that wellspring for them. And let me conclude with what St. Augustine said, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in you, O Lord." Let us pray. Give help, O Lord, we pray, by the grace of your redemption, and be pleased to protect and prepare those you are to initiate through the sacraments of eternal life, through Christ our Lord. Please be seated for the announcements.
Attention, teens. Come and pray the rosary for all those affected by the tragedy in the town of Newtown this Sunday at 7:15 in the Lally Center. Bring your rosary if you have one. Dear parishioners, in the sixth week of the 2013 ADA campaign, we have received pledges totaling $107,000 towards our goal of $156,000. We are grateful for any amount that you can contribute to the campaign. Pledge forms can be placed in the offertory basket or mailed to St. Lucie's Parish. Please join Bishop McGraw at the 40 Days for Life Mass on Thursday, March 7th, 7 p.m. at Holy Family Church in San Jose. There will be a reception following the Mass. Stanford Blood Center will be hosting an Acts for Andrew Oswald blood drive at Sacred Heart School on Monday, March 11th, 7:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. in the gym. Please see the bulletin for information on how to schedule an appointment. All are invited to hear a nationally renowned speaker give a presentation on the Second Vatican Council next Sunday, March 10th, at 4 p.m. in the PAC. Father Fred Silkowski teaches theology at St. Patrick's Seminary, and he studied under professors who helped write some of the Vatican II documents. The session will focus on Vatican II's dogmatic constitution on the Church, Lumen Gentium. And now, someone from the Knights of Columbus will speak to you about their membership drive today after Mass.
Dear parishioners, this weekend, members of the Knights of Columbus will be outside the church after Mass to provide information about membership in our fraternal organization. Bishop O'Dowd serves St. Lucie's and five local parishes. We also have a council hall located nearby. The Knights of Columbus are the largest Catholic fraternal organization in the world. It is a family organization oriented and founded specifically to aid families. We were founded by the now venerable Father Michael McGivney in 1881 to support Catholic families in what were very difficult times, and we continue this legacy. Our council members are active in their parishes and in the greater community. We have standing committees which coordinate our good works supporting church, community, council, family, pro-life, and youth activities. Our council also has a very active ladies' auxiliary. Our principles include charity, unity, fraternity, and patriotism, and we strive to ensure that the Catholic Church remains vigorous. Our most visible element is the Fourth Degree Color Corps. Men with hats, capes, and swords often seen at special events and masses, in parades, and in the funeral services of a brother knight. Again, knights will be outside the church entrance to provide brochures and answer any questions you may have. Thank you, and may God reward you.
Before you stand up, I just want to reiterate a few things in there. One is that talk by Father Fred Chakowski, and he's a professor over at St. Patrick's Seminary. So it's a good, very good talk if you really want to learn more about the Catholic faith and Vatican II and Lumen Gentium. And then the other thing is the ADA. I was with the seminarians over at St. Joseph's Parish last night. We go month to month to different parishes. And I was shocked to see that they had already met their ADA goal, the annual diocesan appeal, and that we haven't yet. Okay? And I'm not saying there's a, you know, I'm just saying is we can do that. I think we can do that here. We can definitely do that here at St. Lucie's. I'm not like there's going to be a challenge or anything, but like a basketball game. But there's a thing there where I'm like, okay, we could do it. If they can do it, we can definitely do it. And if you're anything like me, I have it on my desk and I keep forgetting to write my check. I know I want to do it, but I keep forgetting it because it's not my top priority. But that helps a lot of the seminarians. So if you're like me, why don't you just grab, I think they're on the sides of the pews. Just grab one and maybe after Mass fill it out and then give it, I don't know, put it in the basket up here or something. Or you know what I'm saying? Just do that if you're anything like me. Sometimes I look at those things and they go in the round file. Does that happen to some of you? You kind of did that, threw it in the round file? So go ahead and pick one up and write one there for that and everything. And also the Knights of Columbus, they've been helping out a lot. And I'm actually the San Jose chapter spiritual director for the Knights of Columbus, even though they only see me in Christmas and Easter. But anyway, I'm a CEO type of chaplain there for them. Sort of like some Catholics come to Mass on Christmas and Easter only. But anyway, let's go ahead and stand. I'll give you a final blessing. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go in peace. Glorify the Lord by your life.
Sorrowing, for they shall be consoled.